Hello, everyone. This is Pastor Jay Tyler from Holt Assembly of God, and I want to welcome you to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. Here in just a moment, you'll be listening to a message that I recently shared with our church family at Holt Assembly of God. The message that I'm sharing with you today is entitled, The Transforming Power of Dreams. God has a plan for your life. God gives us revelation of His plan as we draw closer to Him. In this message, I want to encourage you to keep the right perspective as you pursue God and His plan for your life. Don't allow situations, circumstances, or the comfort of our flesh to stall the plan that God has for your life. I pray that you are challenged, blessed, and encouraged as you hear the Word of God shared in this message.
I'm praying this message will give you hope this morning. That's my main focus, is I want you to have hope when you leave here this morning, knowing that God has a plan for your life. And there are many people in the body of Christ. When I say that God has a plan for your life, we get it up here. I believe probably everyone in here, this is no mystery to you, that you know that God has a plan for your life. But I'll just say this, you may get it here, but you don't get it here. And there's a big difference between getting it here, having a knowledge of that, but having that in your heart as a guiding principle that says this, every day that I wake up, God has a mission. He has a plan for my life. And that I'm choosing to go through this day knowing that there's a plan, and I'm seeking that plan out. I'm seeking out the one who gives that plan, reveals that plan. I believe that's the difference. There's a difference between knowing it and knowing it. And so today, I just want to encourage you to figure out God's plan, to receive that revelation, and then pursue it by faith. So hopefully today, when you leave here today, you'll know in your knower that God has a plan for your life. And when you do that, when you then follow that plan by faith, it's life-changing. Now, along the path, there are some things we're going to encounter. Look at Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together for good. I don't know about you. Sometimes that's not my perspective. It's not my perspective when something bad happens, that all things work together for good. For those who are called according to His purpose, God has a plan and He has a purpose for our lives. And there are times in this life when we'll go through stuff. Anybody been through some stuff before? If you haven't, you will, okay? Rest assured, you will. And sometimes stuff happens and it doesn't seem like it has a legitimate purpose. Has that ever happened in your life? You go through things, you're like, why is this happening to me? Why is this occurring? What did I do to ask for this to happen? And we have to have this confidence and know that God has a plan. He has a purpose. And I can't tell you how many times that I've stepped into situations. I've created situations, and then I then stepped in it. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody else ever stepped in it before? You made the mess, and you stepped in it. Even when that happens, when things just occur, or you create a problem and you step in it, God can still use those mistakes. God can still use those challenges. God can still use those wrinkles that may seem to be a wrinkle in His plan, and He can use them for His glory. So God has a plan. He has a purpose, even when we make poor decisions. Because this is what the devil will do to us. He'll try to heap condemnation on us when we make a poor decision. And he'll say, you know what, you made a poor decision. There's no way that you can fulfill God's plan for your life. There's been times where people have had the calling of God upon their lives. They've messed up, and they've vacated that calling. They stopped pursuing God, believing that their mess up, then what it did was departed or separated them from God's purpose. Can I tell you this? Even when you make a mistake, there is a way back to God's plan and purpose. Amen? That's what we call grace. Think about Judas. Judas betrays Jesus. But I fully believe, I'm fully confident of this, that if Judas would have repented and went to the cross, Jesus would have forgave him. That if he would have went to the cross in repentance to Christ, that Jesus would have forgave him. When we make mistakes, there is a path back. And I want to encourage you this morning, no one is too far gone. No one has made mistakes that will separate us from the love of God. I'm just saying this, that God gives us a path back. It doesn't mean He excuses our mistakes. It doesn't mean that we're not called to repent of our sins, because we are, but I just want you to know that God has a plan for your life. When Benny and I were younger, we were poor. We were really poor. I didn't realize how poor we were until later on. But we were so poor, this is a true story, that, you know, usually when an evangelist comes to your church, you bring an offering, right? You bring an offering, and you know, you either sow seed or you just want to be a part of supporting that ministry. And this is no joke. I'm up back in those days, the staff used to worship on the platform. But I remember I was up on the platform, I was worshiping, and I felt, we had to wear suit jackets back then too. And the evangelist tugs on my jacket like this. He goes, I looked up, he goes, come here, I want to talk to you. And he goes, hey, God just told me that you need this. And he gave me one of those Holy Ghost handshakes. You know what that is? That means there's money in it. I'm just saying, there was some good money in there. And I was just like, what? An evangelist gives us money. He's usually there to receive an offering. And I'm just saying, God has a plan. He has a purpose. And you can go through times in your life. For example, you could struggle financially and think, God, where are you at in all this? But can I tell you, you've got to be faithful to God in that season. You must be faithful to God in that season. We were poor, but God, we were faithful with our tithe. We trusted God. We put Him first, and God always provided. It was stressful. I think sometimes when we go through stressful things, we don't think that's God. Sometimes we lose track of this, that God allows us to go through stressful situations. See, in this life, you will encounter stress. In this life, you will encounter difficulty. When you do that, it doesn't mean that God's forsaken you. And that's what our perspective has to be. We have to understand, know in our knower that God is with us. He's for us. He's not against us. The circumstances we experienced when we were poor didn't change our commitment to God. All right, this is what often happens. See, I believe God has a plan for our lives, and that plan touches on every area of our life. Not just some, not just how it relates to church, but our health, our finances, our relationships, our mental well-being, every area, every aspect of our life, that God's plan touches on all those things. Now, here's what happens. We'll go through circumstances where it will challenge the plan of God in our life. Give you an example. Sometimes you'll have a doctor's appointment, or you'll have a high utility bill, or you'll have a car repair that will just happen, and the temptation will be there to then reverse the order and say, I need to take care of this first, rather than putting God first. Can I tell you, that's a big mistake. The circumstances don't change the plan of God. See, that's what I'm saying. We know God has a plan up here, but we really don't have it here. We don't really have it in those circumstances. Those circumstances is what proves our faith. See, we think our faith is all up here. It's all what we believe. It's all what we think and imagine. No, our faith is when we're tried and we're tested and we put God first. Sometimes we go through seasons. That season will directly affect the next season. We'll go through seasons in life. There will be circumstances, challenges in that season, and how we handle that season will directly affect the next season. God did not want us poor. I don't believe that for one minute. But Jenny and I, we had to learn some stuff. We just had to learn some things that's what the season provided. The season provided challenges. The season provided temptations. The seasons provided a whole lot of things. But we understood what God's plan was. And we just took Him at His word, trusted Him, and we never fell short. All right, we learned the lesson that we have to put God first. We can't afford not to put Him first. And so what we did was that also then it translated into our thinking and our behaviors. There will be times where God's plan for your life will be tested, not just in the area of finances, but in every area, and you've got to choose to put God first. Ever spent a season because of one night or one bad day? You had one bad day, one bad night, and you stayed a season there? There's a lesson in that season. Sometimes we go through a season, we go through a mess, and we want to get out of it. And our desire is it's that fight or flight kind of mechanism. But sometimes we don't understand that there's a lesson in the season. There's a lesson in the circumstance. It doesn't always have to be pleasant. But I'm telling you, God will use those challenges to teach us something. Here's where I want to transition to. I want to transition to the life of Joseph. Joseph has just been on my heart. His story, I feel like God's trying to speak to us through his story. I know I was there a couple weeks ago, but I want to go back to Genesis chapter 37 because I believe that his example is a prime example of God's plan and how we must change, how we must transform our thinking, our behaviors in a season, in a trial, in a circumstance. So I'm going to start by reading the second dream, because Joseph had two dreams, and I want to start with the second one. Genesis 37, verses 9 and 10. It says, "And then he dreamed still another dream, and told it to his brothers, and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bowed down to me.'" Verse 10, "So he told it to his father and his brothers, and his father rebuked him and said, 'What is this dream that you have dreamed? Shall your mother and I and your brothers indeed come to bow down to the earth before you?'" Now, this is what's interesting, is God gives Joseph two dreams. I don't know what it is, but I don't know if you've read throughout the Bible that when God speaks to men, he'll speak twice. You ever notice that? How many times God speaks to men twice? I believe there's something in our DNA. That after the fall, there's something in our DNA that causes us to listen partially. All the ladies are nodding their head. None of you men are helping me with this. Bunch of chickens. Listen, the cat's already out of the bag, all right? Just embrace it. You know it's true. You know, there's times when Jenny talks to me, she's Charlie Brown's teacher, right? Womp, 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 womp. Are you hearing me? Oh, yes, I'm hearing you. I didn't hear a word she said. And so she knows this by now, and so she repeats it. And guess what? I can, through all the womp, 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 I know what she's saying then. Sometimes it's three times. Now, I believe this is what happens. Men, we tend to have selective hearing, and as a result, our wives have to use twice as many words. There you go. The conundrum is solved. The average female uses more words than a man. The reason is because we don't listen, so they have to repeat themselves. I'm not going to say that again. listen to the message on the podcast. Loosen up, everybody. It gets worse from here, all right? Selah, all right? Some of you just need to look up Selah. You'll understand what that means. It's a biblical term. God revealed his plan to Joseph in two dreams, and in those dreams, God revealed point A, he revealed point C, but he didn't reveal anything in between. So when Joseph has these dreams, he understands where he is, and he understands where God is going to lead him. But he has no clue what's going to happen in between. All right, so some of you are pursuing God's plan, and you've stopped somewhere in between. You've stopped somewhere in between. And today, I just want to challenge you to keep moving forward. Keep pressing on. God's got a plan and a purpose for your life. See, God did not disclose to Joseph the plans, because I believe this. If God would have done that, Joseph would have said, "No way. There's no way I'm going to go through the trials and the turmoil that I got to experience to fulfill God's plan." I believe that's the way God does with everything. He doesn't always show us every point in between A and C. But what he does is he often reveals our circumstances, and he reveals his promises. So today, I'm just going to encourage you, don't get stuck in the middle. Know that God has a plan for your life. Joseph encountered a bunch of stuff, but that stuff didn't nullify God's plan and his promises. See, this is what happens. Most of the time, we forget this, that God allowed those circumstances to take place. The things that Joseph encountered was part of God's plan. Joseph's story, it's all about perspective. It's all about perspective. Only you can choose your perspective. That is the place of defeat and victory. Listen, if you start off with the wrong perspective, you'll go down the wrong path. But can I tell you this? If you start off with the right perspective, you'll be going down the right path. And even when you falter, even when you get kind of off the wrong path, it's easier to get back on the right path when you have the right perspective. Life happens, but God has a plan. Joseph had a choice. His choice was this: I could choose my perspective. I'm in a situation, but I need to choose my perspective. Joseph encountered this difficulty. He could have chose a negative perspective. Boy, it's so easy to do that, isn't it? It's so easy that when life just comes crashing down on you, you can say, "Where is God at? Why have you forsaken me, God? What did I do to deserve this? What did I do to earn this?" May I remind you, we live in a fallen world, and things are going to happen. But we have to understand this. Our perspective has to be this. God, you don't have to understand it. In fact, I would encourage you not to try to figure it all out, because you'll just get a headache. I'm just saying this, that our perspective has to be this. At the end of the day, God, I trust you. And I know you have a plan. I don't understand it. I don't even like it. You don't have to like God's plan, right? You just have to trust him. You just have to trust him. That has to be your perspective. If not, you're going to be in a mess. You're going to be in a world of trouble. See, God did not tell Joseph that he would be betrayed by his brothers and sold into slavery. God did not tell Joseph that he would be taken away from his father. Obviously, there was a special relationship between Joseph and Jacob. He didn't reveal that, you know what, Joseph, you're going to be enslaved and then taken to a foreign country. God did not tell Joseph that he'd be the target of sexual advances and that he would do the right thing. Now, listen to this. He's the target of sexual advances. He does the right thing, and he still gets thrown into prison. Now, that's injury to insult, right? Doing the right thing, and you still end up in jail, falsely accused, in prison. God did not tell Joseph that he'd be thrown into prison, locked away, and basically forgotten. See, at any place of those major events, Joseph could have said, I'm done with this. This plan of God has gotten me into nothing but trouble. See, that's the temptation. That's the perspective we have to choose. God, I don't like what I'm going through, but I know you have a plan. See, that has to be our perspective. Joseph was 17 years old when God reveals point A. This is where you're at, Joseph. I'm going to give you a dream. He's 17 years old, but he's not ready to fulfill that plan at 17 years old. And well, I'm going to say this. It has something to do with him being 17, but it doesn't have anything to do with him being 17. It's just this. As a person, he is not ready for God's plan. Joseph was not ready. So Joseph, in order to be ready to fulfill God's plan, he has to go through some stuff. See, some of you are going to go through stuff, and it's part of God's plan to mature you, to grow you, to build your faith, to trust. Some people believe good things only happen to good people. And that if you experience bad things, it's because you've sinned or you lack the faith. Can I tell you, that's a lie from the devil. That is a lie from the devil, because if that's the case, what are you going to tell Joseph? What are you going to tell Job? What are you going to tell the Apostle Paul? What are you going to tell Jesus? See, we're going to go through trials. We're going to go through difficulty. But God has a plan in the midst of that. God sees point A, B, C, everything beyond. And that either has to be a guiding principle or it's not. And today I want you to choose that as a guiding principle. That must be your perspective. Don't lose sight of that God has a plan for you. God was not taken by surprise by any of the trials and difficulties that Joseph experienced. You know, decades go by. This story lasts decades. Decades go by in order for the fulfillment of this plan. Before Joseph is reunited with his brothers, the very brothers that betray him, decades go by. Now, I don't know about you. If I'm standing before these brothers who sold me as a slave, and they're standing before me, they don't recognize me because all these years have transpired, but they're standing before me. I'm in a place of power. I'm in a place where I can then throw down justice upon them. I may have a hard time showing them grace. I'm just going to be just blunt with you and honest. I may not be as graceful as Joseph was. Genesis 45, verses 4 and 8. Now look at this. This is Joseph has gone through decades of trials by now. He's at the place where the vision is coming to pass. His brothers are bowing down to him. They don't even know it's him yet. But look at this. Look what Joseph says. This is the moment that he reveals who he is. They've come to Egypt for food. They've come before this man who's second to Pharaoh. They're bowing down before him. They're basically begging for food, begging for provisions. And Joseph, this is his moment. This is his moment when he can rain down some retribution on these folks. Genesis 45, then Joseph said to his brothers, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now, don't be distressed and do not be angry, lighten up everyone, with yourselves for selling me here. Look at this, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. This man has the right perspective. Joseph at 17 would not have this perspective. Joseph at 17 would miss this perspective. Let's keep going on. Verse 6, for two years now, there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will be no plowing and reaping. Verse 7, but God sent me ahead of you to preserve you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8, so then it was not you who sent me here, but God. But God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now, just gather that for a moment. Most of you know this story. This is an incredible perspective. You tried to destroy me. You tried to kill me. You tried to rid me. You've stolen years away from you, my family, my father, the blessings. You've stole everything from me. I was a slave. I was sold. I was abandoned. I was neglected. I was abused. I was falsely accused. And this is his perspective. You didn't put me here. God put me here. God used you to put me into this situation. And this is what's ironic, that God put Joseph there not to save Joseph. He put Joseph there to save them. And we see, we don't get that. Why do we have to go through all this stuff? Because there's a greater purpose. There's a greater purpose. See, that's the transforming power of a dream right there. That's why we need to get God's perspective. That's why we need to know the plan of God for our lives. Because you can't get from here to there often. You've got to go through some stuff. And through that stuff, you got to change. God's got to transform you. God's got to mature you. God's got to grow you. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what titles you have. You still have, as long as you have life left in your body, God has a plan towards more and greater maturity in your life. See, we can't live off yesterday's anointing and blessings. That won't work. See, we have to have a fresh revelation of God daily. We've got to grow and mature daily in our relationship with God. You know, you can't have baby faith when you're going through a trial. You don't understand what I'm saying? You can't be an adult and you have faith like a baby. You know, I thought the Bible talks about faith like a child. You know what I'm saying, right? That your faith cannot be that of a child that you get so messed up over when bad stuff happens. See, that's why you have to change. You must change. That has to be our perspective, or you'll never fulfill God's plan for your life. And you always go through life with the wrong perspective. Woe is me. Why me, God? Why am I not experiencing this? Why is this happening? It'll be a constant theme in your life. You can choose the right perspective, amen? It's all up to you. God still uses dreams. He still uses visions. He still uses the power of revelation in our life. Some people say, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Can I give you a couple examples just to remind you of what God has promised us to experience in the New Testament? Acts 2:17, this is Peter quoting the prophet Joel. This is what he says on the day of Pentecost, the day that the Spirit of God was poured out upon the church, Acts 2:17, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. I still think I'm seeing visions, not dreams yet. Your old men shall dream dreams. Dreams and visions. All right, let's go a step further. God gave Joseph a dream to get Mary and the Christ child out of Bethlehem and get them into Egypt where they'd be safe from Herod. All right, Peter, during a time of prayer, experiences a vision. God reveals his plan to reach Gentiles. Peter heeds the vision, and God saves Cornelius and his household. Stephen, as he was being martyred for his faith, he experiences a vision. He sees the heavens open, and he sees Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. We have an entire book of the New Testament called Revelation, dreams and visions. Dreams and visions have their place in our lives as New Testament believers. So don't ever think that, oh, that's the way God spoke in times past. No, he's still giving us visions today. He's still giving us a big picture. I believe God wants us to see the big picture. I don't know about you, I'm more visual in my learning. That's why I don't listen. Just show me. I should have been born in Missouri. Just show me, right? You can explain it until the cows come home. But at the end of the day, you just got to show me. And once you show me, I can do it. So I'm a very visual person. And I'm sure most of you are. Pink elephant. Pink elephant. It's there. The plan of God is communicated to his church often through vision. What is God's vision? What is God's plan? Let's kind of segue now. What is God's plan and vision for his church? What is his plan and his vision for his church? Well, I think it's reflected in Matthew 28:19. Go, therefore. Go. Go, therefore. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Verse 20. And teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. See, God has a plan for this church. Not because we're special, because we're a church. We're his body. We're his people. See, the plan is this, and we all share the same plan, by the way. Did you know that? Every church has the same plan. It's the mission of Christ. It's the Great Commission. See, the mission is this, that we win people to Jesus, we disciple them, and then we should, in turn, as Christ followers, we should show them the importance of winning people to Jesus themselves. That's the plan of God. That is the mission of believers. Now, there could be all kinds of variations of how you accomplish that mission. Are you hearing me? The mission has never changed. The way we accomplish the mission has and will continue to change. The way we do church today will be different tomorrow. And that's been happening for 2,000 years. And guess what? As long as Jesus tarries, there's going to continue to be change. Why? Because there's cultural change. People change. It's not about the methods. It's about the message. Amen? So the methods change, but the message will never change. So this is what we have to do. Because this is where we get stuck as a church. God has a plan. He's got a mission, but we get stuck in the methods. See, we don't think we can do church a certain way. It has to be one way, this way. Can I tell you that that is a lie from the devil? And we are going to miss people. We're going to be stuck in a rut. And when a church gets stuck in a rut, it dies and its door shuts forever. I don't know about you. I want this church to live beyond my lifetime. And if that's not your prayer, then you are in the wrong church. It's bigger than us. We have to establish something in our community that make sure that as long as Jesus does not return, that there is a church that is vibrant in our community, amen? Methods can change. Who cares? As long as God's plan is being fulfilled. Now, I believe our church, we, every one of us, need to get a better understanding of God's plan for our church. We've got to first get a grasp that God has a plan for our lives, for our families, for our children. But then beyond that, we have to see that God has a plan for our church. See, if we don't see that plan, we fall short. We're just coming to church, but we're not being the church. I can't pastor a church that's just coming to church. I can't and I won't. That's my challenge to you. We got to start being the church. More and more, we got to be the church. Because I don't know about you, I really believe this. Jesus could come anytime. I honestly believe that. And I don't want to face my Savior as pastor, look into his eyes, and say, you know, you could have done more. You knew what I was calling you to do. Why didn't you motivate? Why didn't you preach it? Why didn't you express it more? Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. We often use that verse from our perspective. It's the wrong perspective. When the church has no vision, sinners will perish. See, when the church doesn't have a vision, people are going to split hell wide open. God has a plan for us to reach our community. Here's what I want to do. So how do we do this? How do we accomplish God's plan in our lives? How do we accomplish God's plan for us as a church? Let's go back to the story, but Genesis 37, verse 2. Just go back to the beginning of the story. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brothers. Notice this first time he's with his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah, and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report to them to his father. Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father, excuse me. That's probably a mistake, by the way, right? Because if you know the story, Joseph's 17, right? His brothers are not just older than him, they're much older than him. In fact, some of them have children his age and older. Get that picture. So your little brat brother has a big mouth, right? See, and this is just where we start to see the problems, but the problems are already well before this. So we can see already that he's very immature. He's 17, he's immature, he's probably a little spoiled. We'll see why he's spoiled here in the next few verses, verses 3 and 4. Now Israel, or Jacob, right, it's the other name for Jacob. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children. Big mistake on his part, right? You can't, the story of Israel's history is marked with favoritism, and that favoritism always causes problems. So he loved Joseph more than all his children because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a tunic of many colors. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. See, Joseph was daddy's favorite, and there was nothing Joseph could do about that. He just earned his father's favor. And that coat of many colors was an indication, it was an expression of Jacob's favor. You know, there's so many people that read into this too much. It's just an expression of his favor. It is what it is. He makes him a special coat. That coat is significant because it shows dad's favor. And this is a source of hatred because the brothers know this. If he's dad's favorite, when dad's gone, guess who's in charge? It's not the oldest. It's going to be that son that has God's favor upon him. And that little punk is 17 years old. He runs his big mouth all the time. There's no way we're putting up with him. I mean, this is exactly what they're feeling, this angst, this tension between Joseph and his brothers. Joseph antagonizes the situation just a little bit. Here's why we'll see. Look at verses 5 and 8. Now, Joseph had a dream, right? This is the dream again. Just kind of repeat this. Had a dream. He told it to his brothers, and they hated him more. You know, that, again, that probably wasn't a good idea on Joseph's behalf. And, you know, we know the story. It goes on, talks about how the sheaves bow down to him. It's a picture of what's going to take place in the future. But what Joseph is doing is he's telling his brothers his dreams. And he's not ready. It's not time to do this. Again, he's showing his immaturity. God gave him a dream, but God doesn't say, hey, Joseph, go out and run your mouth to your brothers who already hate you. It just wasn't a good idea. So let's go to verses 13 and 14. Israel said to Joseph, are not your brothers feeding the flocks in Shechem? Come, I will send you to them. So he said to him, here I am. Now, notice this time, he's not out in the field with the brothers. He's back home with dad. And we'll see what goes on. Then he said to him, please go and see if it is well with your brothers and well with the flocks and bring word back to me. His little spy. His little minion, right? I mean, and then this is what happens. This get the whole picture here. Let's go down to verses 18. Now when they saw him afar off, even before he came near, they conspired to kill him, right? Then they said to one another, look, the dreamer is coming. Verse 20, come therefore, let us now kill him and cast him into some pit, and we shall say, some wild beast has devoured him. We shall see what will become of his dreams. Brothers, they want to rid themselves of the dream and the dreamer. Church, you're going to encounter people and circumstances that are going to seek to destroy you and God's dream, God's plan for your life. You just are. You're going to encounter situations, people, things, just stuff that is meant to destroy God's plan for your life. Not everyone is for us. You do know this, that churches, often when churches do certain things in their community, often when churches are reaching lost people, this is what happens. The other churches begin to cast stones at them. You know what they're doing? They're compromising. But just because, I'm not trying to say we need to be a mega church or anything. I'm just saying this. If a church is growing, it's not always an indication of great growth or perfect growth, but a lot of the times it is. And what happens is this jealousy arises in churches. We begin to cast stones at another church, saying they're compromising, they're doing this, and that's why they're growing. Can I just tell you, stick with God's plan for your church. Just stick with your plan that God's given your church, right? See, Joseph's opposition was his own brothers. It wasn't anyone else. It was his own brothers. Verses 23 through 28. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers, they stripped him of his tunic, the tunic of many colors. He came strutting with that jacket on, with that tunic on. They see him from a distance. He's strutting around with dad's favor on him. What's the first thing they do? They strip it off of him. They can't stand the side of that jacket. They can't stand the side of that tunic. Cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Verse 25, sat down to eat a meal. They're sitting down eating how they're going to take care of this kid. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. And that's God's provision right there, because they're going to kill him. They're going to destroy him. And God says, I got to get him out of that place. And God, I believe, he orchestrates those Ishmaelites coming. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. Let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brothers listened. The Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver, and they took Joseph to Egypt. It's God's plan. That was God's plan. See, if this happens to you and I, we'd say, where's God in all this? It was his plan. That's why we need perspective. I mentioned this in the early verses. Remember what Joseph said in hindsight when he's before his brothers. When all this comes to pass, the plan is being fulfilled. He says, so then it was not you who sent me here, but God. But God. That's the correct perspective. Joseph couldn't have that perspective at 17. So God had to give him some opportunity to get the right perspective. From that right perspective, then Joseph can fulfill God's plan. Trials gave him opportunity to change. The hardships that he endured worked out for the benefit of all his people. See, this is what we can't miss. The plan that God had for Joseph required change. Everyone say change so I know you're with me. Change. Joseph was 17. It was a factor, but he lacked wisdom, he lacked humility, and he lacked maturity. Everything that he endured gave him those things. Everything that he came across gave him those opportunities. I want to make sure that every person here knows this. God has a plan for your life. Every one of you. It doesn't matter how you messed up. It doesn't matter what you did. It doesn't matter what you have not done. God's got a plan for your life. You could be sitting here this morning, not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for you. And it's an incredible plan. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you it's pie in the sky and everything's going to be great. Give your life to Jesus. Everything's going to work out perfect. It will work out perfect if you keep your eyes on him, serve him, follow him, trust him, go through trials. You may not have a trial that is anything like Joseph's, but you will encounter heartache. You will encounter things in this life. Some of you, they'll be more severe than others. All I can tell you is this. None of us are promised never to experience those things. But I can tell you this. As long as we endure, as long as we press forward, as long as we trust him, serve him through these things, listen, we're going to encounter God's greatest blessing, eternal life. Amen? That's what I can promise you. Number two is this, that some of you have done some things or some things have occurred in your life and you've gotten away from God's plan for your life. I want to give you an encouragement to get back on board. Get back on the right path. Surrender yourself to Jesus. Surrender yourself to his plan for your life. God's got a calling. God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. That calling doesn't just exist for the preachers. Amen? Every one of us have a calling of God upon our lives. See, if we'll collectively grasp this, this will help the vision of this church as well. Every one of you were called to be priests. We're a royal priesthood, the priesthood of believers. Third is this, and I just want you to have a bigger picture then. You know that God's calling on your life. You know he has a plan. You're walking by faith. That's great. But then how does that relate then to God's plan for this church? And that's the perspective I want you to look at as well. That, okay, God's called me here. He's put me here. I'm here at this church. What is my calling? What is my purpose at this church? And then I want to encourage you to get involved. Step in and be a part of what God's doing at this church. Amen?
I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this broadcast of Life in the Spirit. I hope this message was a blessing to you. If you are looking for a church home, I want to encourage you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m. or join us Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for our family night We have ministry opportunities for all ages, children, youth, and adults. Holt Assembly of God is located at 540 3rd Avenue in Holt, Florida. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, you can find us on the web at www.holtag.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Instagram. Our phone number is 850-537-8351. Until our next broadcast of Life in the Spirit, may God bless you as you serve the Lord Jesus with a grateful heart.